Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. What a sports Monday. Wow. Inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. So the Jags bench Bortles, he is back. Doug Marrone had that earlier today. He's going to play. Chiefs keep rolling. All sorts of stuff happening in the NFL. The fight over the weekend, Saturday, it's Staples. We spent a good time on that, good amount of time on that. We'll get into Harbaugh, D'Antonio here as well. And also the Cowboys trade, which is part ridiculous, but also incredibly interesting.
Yeah, of course, to see if it works. Yeah. I mean, he's got to pick up an offense, which doesn't seem to be that complicated.
No, it seems like you run five steps, you do a little cut into the middle of the field, and maybe we'll throw it to you.
Exactly. We're going to run some slants, going to run some comebacks, and that's about it.
Maybe a couple little curls.
And the rest of it, just
stick route.
Make sure you block downfield when Ezekiel Elliott comes running up your back.
That's the important part, Cooper. Exactly. Remember how to block there. So if you guys want to chime in on any of that, 855-212-4227, even some World Series stuff. We got a guest up next. So we're not going to take calls there. We'll do the blast in the last segment. We're not going to take calls there. So this is the window to do it. But I know you and I want to flush through this situation pregame in East Lansing between Michigan and Michigan State. I know you know what happened.
Yep.
We've got sound from both coaches and a couple of players as well. You played college football. What's your interpretation of who's right, who's wrong?
Well, I mean, I guess this is Michigan State trying to make their home turf feel like their home turf. Yes, we know Michigan, you're the big boys in this conference, in the division,
in the state,
college football, in the state. But this is our home, and we're going to be standing here in solidarity with each other. We don't care who comes in here. You're not taking our ship and going home, type of thing, right? That's what it felt like. The execution of it maybe was a little bit
aggressive.
Aggressive. Yes, the best way to put it.
Aggressive where it's aggressively out of bounds? Or
no.
Still within the framework
of
competition?
It's your home.
Well, they ran over a couple guys.
I hear you.
And Michigan State got out there late.
I hear you.
That's why I'm asking, is it in bounds?
But, yeah, because
they were a couple of minutes late.
It's their home. They can
do. But it wasn't there a lot of time.
I agree, but they can still do what they want to do. Now, here's the thing. You're right. They did come out late, and they did kind of aggressively hem up people that were that happened to be in the way. The only thing I would have said, Michigan State, let people through and then reconnect. You know what I mean? Let be permeable. You know what I mean? Disconnect, reconnect. You don't got to be a jerk about it. That's what made it feel, I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, aggressively inbounds or out of bounds. And I think the deeper we get into this, you start to come now that it's a little bit aggressively out of bounds, which is how I kind of view it. It's a little bit out of bounds.
But still.
But still, you okay with it?
I'm okay. It's their home. They can do what they want.
Okay. Now, I don't know if they do this on the road. And by the way, just for those who don't know exactly what we're talking about, before Michigan and Michigan State played, there was, I don't know if it was 5 or 6 minutes, but there was a little bit of a delay. And so Michigan was on the field, and Michigan State was running a few minutes late. And they basically locked arms like, and Harbaugh will play a sound in a moment. He basically said, stormtroopers, like the stormtrooper march. And they, you know, solidarity, lockstep from one end zone to the other, which they always do. I know they do it at home. Again, I don't know if they do it on the road. They very well might.
Yeah.
And because Michigan State was a little late, Michigan, a couple of guys were involved in their pregame routine. And now if you're watching us on TV, I think that's the kid Bush, right?
Yeah.
He's just ripping up the logo, which I love at that point. I thought that was awesome.
Devin Bush. He's a linebacker. He's great.
Devin Bush, exactly. I thought that was fine. Once they were aggressive, I certainly give Michigan the right to respond. My only problem with this is, and this is very different from the Rondo, Chris Paul, this was very avoidable. Like sometimes tempers flare and things kind of happen. Not that it's right or wrong, but this was orchestrated. This was just utterly disrespect. This was, we're moving from point A to point B, And if anybody's in our way, we're going to stomp right through you. Mm-hmm. Somebody's headphones got ripped off. And quite frankly, they're very lucky that this didn't
turn into a fight.
Turn into something that could have been really dangerous.
I'm surprised it didn't.
So am I. Great restraint
yes.
on the part of Michigan.
And that's
I believe.
And I think that's a testament to Coach Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, not that he prepped the guys, hey, this is going to happen, you know, just don't react. But I think there's a character that comes with being tutored by him.
Like a poise.
Exactly.
That becomes second nature after a while.
Exactly.
I would agree with that.
And so
You take
on the personality of your coach. Now, Jim Harbaugh is an emotional
guy.
Although
he's exploded a few times. Remember the handshake with Schwartz years ago in Detroit?
Of course, but that was different.
Him and Pete Carroll, Stanford, back in the day.
True.
Yeah, Jim's been a little...
Well, so he's been there.
Yeah.
You know, but they comported themselves well, even though Devin Bush had to be held back a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, so let's hear from Harbaugh. First, Jim Harbaugh postgame. Go ahead, guys.
You know, apparently there were clotheslined. Two of our guys came out in their helmets. Lawrence Marshall got... I mean, they just went up and clotheslined him. The old-fashioned clothesline ripped off. One of their guys ripped off LeVert's headphones. You know, total Bush League. And apparently Coach D'Antoni was 5 yards behind it all smiling. So, yeah, I think it's Bush League. That's my impression of it. But our guys, they didn't blink. They didn't come here to back down or get intimidated by anybody. So we never have in this game. And guys did what they had to do. Be a happy bus ride home.
You know, by the way, D'Antonio, who, you know, I didn't see him right behind the Imperial March, if you will. But if he was 5 yards behind that, as Harbaugh said, you know, I almost think that he should be fined, or I think there should be a repercussion for this. I really do. And I don't, you know, I'd like to know that, like,
Why? Because it was... Because it was disruptive, emotional charging.
It was dangerous, I think, is the word that I would use. It was dangerous. That thing could have gone off the rails fast in that rivalry. Fast.
Yeah, but it didn't. You know?
I love the music, by the way.
Yeah, agreed.
No.
I think if something would have, bad would have happened,
mm-hmm.
dangerous, throwing of fists, fighting, someone got hurt, whatever,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you could fight him. But just because the possibility of that happening was there, I don't think you can. I just don't think you can.
I think I still would. I really do. Because if the Michigan players weren't so poised,
mm-hmm.
Some of these guys weren't even in uniform, which means you've got, bare knuckles, no helmets. I mean, severely outnumbered. You know, and what would, again, almost similar to when I said with Ingram, what would happen? I think that is D'Antonio. Yeah, there's Coach a couple yards behind him, I think. What would have happened if Ingram connected running and hit CP3 and broke his orbital bone? He would have been suspended more than 4 games.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if you and I are sitting here today, the Monday after this went down, if Michigan didn't demonstrate such great self-restraint and such poise, and God forbid somebody got really hurt?
We'd
have a different discussion.
We'd have a more visceral reaction, but then, Michigan State.
True, but there'd also be definitive repercussions from the NCAA, from the Big Ten, and certainly from what you and I do for a living.
Yeah, but nothing happened.
Yeah, but I don't want to reward Michigan State for nothing happening.
But you're going to penalize them for nothing happening.
The coach. I don't know if nothing. Yeah.
I mean, they took the L at home. That's hard enough, isn't it?
But that's independent of your actions before
you.
The game.
I hear you.
You know? What did Coach D'Antonio say post game? He's ornery. We've had him on. Remember what did we talk about? Was it with Kirk Cousins? Why he wasn't a captain? Is that what it was?
Yeah,
what it was.
Yes.
It was last year. We've had him on a few times. I don't know that he's been back since there. To be honest with you,
we tested him on a few things,
and he was not. Yeah, he was tightly wound over that. So I'm very curious what he said post game. Here's the Spartans head coach.
There was some issues before the game today. The little brother line comes out again afterwards from Michigan players, and Coach Harbaugh said the shenanigans before the game were total Bush League, and Coach D'Antonio was 5 yards behind it all smiling. I was curious if you had any perspective to that. I'm sorry.
You heard me.
It's BS.
By the way, I misspoke. I said Kirk Cousins. I knew that didn't sound right in my head. Connor Cook.
Yes.
Why he wasn't a captain, a senior, voted upon by his teammates. So that's Coach D'Antonio's response.
Mm.
Listen, the rivalry between, obviously, schools, but this friction between Harbaugh and D'Antonio, who were very different personalities, but both uber competitive is great for the conference.
Oh, I think it really it's phenomenal for the conference. It's phenomenal for this rivalry. And Jim Harbaugh is over this, at least a step, not a full hurdle, a step over this idea that he can't beat his in-conference rivals. So he's got one down this year and with a legit chance to be in the college football postseason if they went out and win the division, and then have a chance to win the conference. Which I think if they beat Ohio State, if Michigan takes care of business for the rest of the season, does what they're supposed to do, and then beats Ohio State, so they play in the conference championship, which I think they will win, and they get to the college football playoff, then all of this conversation about Jim Harbaugh not getting it goes away, right? Because
100%,
it's not only did you beat your two biggest rivals that you have a historically bad record against, Michigan State and Ohio State, but you beat them in the season that you took your team to the college football playoff.
Yep.
So this season could work out perfectly timed for Jim Harbaugh to exercise that narrative and just make it go away forever.
Yeah, and I've got no problem saying, listen, I am as big a Harbaugh fan as anybody. You know I love the guy.
Me too.
I know you do. But I also had no problem saying that I overreacted to that first loss to Notre Dame.
I definitely did.
I didn't know Notre Dame was as good as they are, number one.
We speculated preseason what we thought Notre Dame would be, and we didn't like Wimbush.
No.
Brandon Wimbush, their quarterback. It's like, okay, he can only take them this far. Like, we knew that the kid was there, Ian Book, but he's not going to play until he does start playing, and then he's actually really good. And their offense and defense is much better than I think I speculated. So you got to give Coach Kelly a ton of credit.
Because we probably should have done that earlier. People don't.
I mean, you know, I don't know why they just don't. Maybe it's because of the level of competition that they're playing.
There's an interesting energy around Notre Dame as it pertains to the amount of respect that they get.
Yeah.
And sometimes don't get. It's funny because it works both ways.
You're exactly right.
A lot of like pseudo respect because of the history.
Yeah.
Which kind of inflates who they are. That's happened in the past.
And that happened the year they went to the national championship.
No doubt it got rolled by Bama.
They had no business being in that game.
JV.
It was embarrassing.
Manti Te'o looked so slow that night. I mean, everybody did. Yeah. They got destroyed. But I also think the fact that there's no conference affiliation, although I know, four or five ACC games a year. Yeah. We know about that.
Yeah.
But listen, I also think the fact that it's a Catholic school. I've always said that. I think that Notre Dame, and the fact that they've got the NBC contract, which for a couple of years was kind of without justification. Mm-hmm. When you look at the big boys of college football, they really deserve that at that point. There's a whole lot of stuff going around with Notre Dame, and it's interesting. Some of it is unfair. Some of it is unnecessary. But it all adds up to a team that moves the needle.
Yeah, I agree.
And they are good. They're very good this year.
And so if they keep winning, not only is it good for Notre Dame, because they'll be in that conversation with Clemson and Alabama, at least three of the four spots, but it's also great for Michigan. If they went out and their only loss is to Notre Dame,
100%.
The first game of the season is Shea Patterson's inauguration
to the
Michigan football.
Agreed. It's almost like you have no losses at that point.
You're right.
You know? All right. What do we got? We got Zolak coming up next, right? Scotty Zolak. You know, I'll tell you, watching, bouncing around, watching the games as we do, I thought the Pats were ripe to be had yesterday, certain spots in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like they were going to take the L.
You're right.
And I thought this was going to be a fun Monday for me.
Three turnovers in the game?
Yeah.
They were a little bit reckless. On the road, it's tough in Chicago with a good defense.
Yeah.
But the Pats are the Pats now. Mm. They're back to being the Pats.
Yeah, they are.
They can't beat you the conventional way. They'll just outscore you.
That's right. We'll talk about the Pats cut up with their voice of the Pats, Scott Zolak, as I said. That's next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. And let's face it, Boston, the center of the sporting universe these days. Red Sox back in the World Series. Celtics look loaded again. Patriots terrific again. Even Boston College is getting sneaky competitive in everything the last couple of years. So let's bring in our buddy Scott Zolak. Been a little bit since we've had him on the show, but Scott, of course, the voice color commentator for the Pats, and he's been with 98.5, the sports hub, for a long time, really embedded out there in the sports radio world. Scotty, boy, what's happening, man? How are you today?
What's going on, guys? Now we're going with two bald guys. That doesn't mean I'm going to go bald, right?
Yes, it does.
It depends.
Eventually, you all end up there. Eventually, we all end up there.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Scott, hey, you know what? Something sneaky kind of didn't even pay attention to, but it actually happened. Rob Gronkowski didn't play. I mean, what's up with Rob?
Well, for people that I talked to, they thought going up to about 9 o'clock on Saturday that the big guy had a chance to play. Now, the back tightened up with some spasms on Friday. Now, everybody knows he's had the back operated on probably, what, three times?
Yeah.
He's had surgery on the knee. He's had surgery on the elbow. He's had multiple surgeries. So the second that thing pulls up and it locks up, they think, okay, maybe we get him in traction. We do some treatment. And then maybe Saturday he's good to go. So you practice all week. And, Tiki, you know this.
Yeah.
You go into an offensive game plan. You practice 3 days. And let's face it, these guys nowadays, they don't practice the way we used
to.
No,
not at all.
Pretty much glorified walkthroughs with shells and helmets.
I know.
So,
we used to wear shoulder pads a week like 12. We used to wear shoulder pads at 12.
Had to change some things on Saturday morning when the training staff went in and said, hey, we got a problem. Rob is not feeling well, and he can't go.
Mm. They didn't miss a beat offensively, though. It's amazing, this offense, Scott. It just doesn't really matter who's putting spots. You're not playing tight end, but you're in that specific spot. You do as you do. Sony Michel, just another injury update before we move on to the bigger, I guess, storyline around the New England Patriots. What's the diagnosis? Because it looked like it was something bad, but they're saying it's not.
I thought it was bad right away in the call. When the left knee went underneath, and that's the knee he hurt down in Georgia, and, of course, going back to his high school days, now he was cleared at the draft, and this is why the Patriots selected him in the first round at the end. And he's been really coming on. He had three straight 100-yard games. The left knee goes underneath, and I said it right on the call. Second you drop that ball, that means we got pain going on. We got something going on. And the way he walked off the field gingerly, you know, he was aided by two trainers, and then he got carted off. You know, you're thinking worst-case scenario, that's got to be ACL. If it's not ACL, it's got to be MCL. And the way word gets out, whether it's Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, if that's an ACL, I think we got that news within 3 hours postgame. And the fact we didn't have it and we got on the plane, we started to feel pretty good about it. And for people that I talked to, the Patriots are feeling pretty good from the fact that this is pretty comparative to the Rex Burkhead injury from Pittsburgh last year. Rex got bent exactly the same way. You know, he sat out a couple weeks. We got him back late in the playoffs and, of course, in another Super Bowl. So, best case scenario, we're going to get this guy back. You know, he's week to week, listed as week to week now, and I think Burkhead comes back around week 12.
All right. We're talking to Scotty Zolak, by the way, 9 years in the NFL, 98.5, the sports sub, color analyst for the Patriots. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I got to ask you, I don't know that we need to, you know, beat this to a bloody pulp, but you've got an interesting seat, so your perspective is probably pretty good. You know, down 10, fourth quarter, AFC Championship game, Jaguars. And then week two, 31-20, loss to the Jaguars. Are you stunned, surprised? What the Jaguars have morphed into?
Yeah, because we were down there week two. And going into that, we know we were going into a buzzsaw. We didn't have Edelman. You know, Edelman was obviously suspended for the first four games. You had no clue what you had in the running back. Sony Michel, that was really his first reps of the season. He didn't practice or play the entire preseason with a knee injury. So basically the first four games of September, and Belichick's always said, four games are extensions of the preseason. I kind of know what a team that I have about 5-6 weeks into it. And they build that up as their Super Bowl. It was 108 degrees prior to kick. It was 120 2 hours prior to game time, and I think that was just the perfect spot for them. They put everything into that game. And, Tiki, you've been on teams, you know, you can't put one game bigger than any other. There's 16 of these suckers, and the great thing about the Patriots, early in the season, get knocked off. I mean, coming out of Detroit, we were 1-2. Next thing you know, here we are 7 weeks into this thing, and now we're 5-2. So they've righted the ship, and Jacksonville sort of can't get out of their own way right now.
Yeah, no, it's bizarre how Belichick seems to do this every year. Is it on purpose, Scott?
I think it is. No, it's really not on purpose. I just think, you know, this is the way the league is going now. I think rules have favored the offensive, you know, the way the offense is structured now. You know, defense can't play the way it used to be able to play. You can't hit receivers. You can't jam receivers. And then the big thing is you really can't put padded practices. When you and I played, We had two-a-days, really, like full padded two-a-days. You don't do that anymore. I did 17 practices during training camp, the week covered for our radio show. I don't remember one hit where helmets collided or the pads cracked. It's really glorified walkthroughs, and these guys talk about the grind, the grueling days of training camp. This isn't training camp what these guys go through, and I think that's why they don't hit their stride till week 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Hey, you know what I want to ask you? What's your interpretation or what's your views on Trubisky? You know, his tool, not just his toolbox, but his mind.
Yeah, I was there 4 hours early prior to game time yesterday. I watched this kid walk around. I watched the pregame, and I did a hit with our pregame show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and I said, hey, guys, I got something to tell you. I said, this guy reminds me of Ryan Tannehill. Mm. Just from a structured standpoint where everything's rigid and it's got to be right, and some throws are in the ground, they're around the ankles. You know, you watch Brady in pregame, nothing hits the floor.
Yeah.
Never. Never does the ball ever hit the ground.
So that's not a good scouting report.
No, it doesn't sound like one.
No, it's not. They gave up 3 picks to the 49ers to go from, what?
Three to two
to get this guy.
Yeah. One spot.
I think he's Ryan Tannehill. I really do.
Wow.
All right. So.
And I'm sorry for Bears fans, but I call it the way I see it. And
of course.
This is coming off a game where we watched Kansas City and Mahomes, who went later in that same draft to Kansas City. I'd take that guy over this guy any day of the week.
What about Baker? What do you see on film with Mayfield? He's had a little regression here.
Savvy. Yeah. I just still think this guy's a gamer.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some moxie to him. It's like you're watching, Friday Night Lights down there in the state of Texas. And,
yeah.
Yeah, all that. So I think this kid can play, and I think he's going to be really exciting for years to come for the Cleveland Browns. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what Hugh Jackson does with that, because he's going to take over some of the play calling, and that's going to butt heads with my man Todd Haley, and I think Todd Haley eventually will be the head coach there.
Yeah. I totally agree. Scott Zolak is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, yes. CBS Sports Radio.
Hugh Jackson did not hire him to be his coordinator.
Come on, you know,
we're just running around.
He's telling everybody that he's the head coach. He's got to start acting like
it's insecurity. You know? Yeah. I said that over the summer watching Hard Knocks.
Right.
He's insecure.
The worst thing about Hard Knocks was you looked at that, you watch it, you said, wow, Bob Wiley, the offensive line coach whose belly shakes, he's a pretty good coach.
He's great.
He said, hey, we want players to practice.
Yeah.
And so did Todd Haley. And you said, no, we're going to give those guys days off.
Dude.
I never heard of that.
You talk about practice? We talk about practice.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. Hey, Scott, we're jumping around the quarterbacks that you've seen already. Pat Mahomes, man, this kid is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense how good he is in his second year. Really, now he's only in his eighth game because he only played one last year. How is he so good? As you watch them, you know Andy Reid just like I know Andy Reid. But, I mean, he made a star out of this kid.
It's a good question, Tiki. And, I came out with Jeff George in the draft, and I never saw anybody zip the ball the way Jeff George did off the back foot. You know, Tia Marino, I played with Danny my last year.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's a lot like Elway from the standpoint that 75-yarder to Hill in zone coverage at the end of the game.
Yep.
You know, if you float that ball, our free safety, Daron Harmon, he makes that tackle. The fact that that thing is a 45-yard dart, and I'm talking – you know, we're right there on the 50. We got a great vantage point. And to watch this kid, I was next to 8 yards away from him in pregame. The velocity on his throws, it's like watching Derek Jeter play quarterback. And there's something with this kid. He's got everything. I really believe it. I think he's going to be the next great one.
You know, you bring up the name Marino, and we all know he's got a long way to go in terms of proving year in, week in and week out. But
right. The
one thing Marino didn't have was the ability to just let it rip from every arm angle without really winding up. I mean, the baseball analogy is a great one. I've been saying it for a long time. It's like Jeter in the hole. I mean, he could throw from down here, turning a double play across the diamond to his right in a hole that shortstop. He's a baseball player playing quarterback.
He really is. And we looked at a play, I think it was against Atlanta in a preseason. I do a lot of TV with Coach Belichick, and he brought up a play where the play was dead. This kid put the ball 75 yards in the air, off the back foot, sidearm, threw it over top of the Atlanta defense, and it's preseason. He said, hey, this is preseason. Maybe some of the guys in there shouldn't be in there, you know, when the real bullets are flying. But never is a play dead with this kid, and I think that's the trend with Andy. And Andy could call anything, and he's put really good people around him. They got a lot of speed. A lot of guys are running 4.3, 4.4, a lot faster than Tiki did back in the day.
Yeah, man. I'll
tell you that.
I was a 4.56 guy at the combine.
I was a 5.2. So,
Hey, Scott, one more before I let you go. Obviously, Matt Patricia is no longer there on the defensive side as defensive coordinator. How's that defense without him?
I think it's a little more aggressive. I do. You know, we got Jason McCourty who's played in the league. I think Hightower is a little more active now. I think with Matt Patricia, it's a little more base 3-4 where you mix nickel in and you kind of everybody lines up and you read something and you react to it. I think they're more proactive with Brian Flores. And let's face it, I mean, this guy's called 7 games. That's it. So I think it's only going to get better. You get a guy like Trey Flowers up front. I think Claiborne's starting to come on, and I think they put Hightower in a right position with Kyle Van Noy up front. And they got really good, smart free safeties and strong safeties, and De'Ron Harmon, Patrick Chung, and Devin McCourty that I think are going to keep things in front of them. Just don't let the big play over the top, and his team will be fine. Tom Brady puts up 35-plus a game, we should be okay.
Yeah, no, I think you're number four in the league in scoring right now, and that's after some early poor performances. They're going to be one of the top two. Now, you have a book, If These Walls Could Talk, about the Pats. What are we learning in your take from the New England Patriots?
There's a lot of things in there. There really is. I think it's the pre-Robert Kraft era to tell people the way it was back in the day. You know, these rookies that come into the league right now, they think, okay, we're 14-2, we're 13-3 every year. That's not the way it used to be here. We used to play in a crappy stadium, stay in motels back in the day. I had Victor Kiam as my original owner, and then obviously Robert Kraft took over this organization. Had Bill Parcells for a couple years, and the way those two collided and some of the stories behind the scenes in the locker room, you know, the drafting of guys like Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Troy Brown, Drew Bledsoe, and the way, you know, we packed the stadium from that point on. So there's a lot of really good stories. I was the original you-know-what-in-the-box guy prior to Justin Timberlake. So Timberlake takes a lot of credit for that box trick that he does, but I was the original guy that did that way back in the day.
I remember watching
it. I tell you what, you're going to get lep on it, man. He's got to get you right in the book.
I'm telling you, man. Oh, I did one. I did one right after retired, but I got too much more life to live before I write my next one. I don't want to throw people under the bus before I, you know.
Yeah, but it's a great read. If These Walls Could Talk, tells from the sidelines, you know, back in the day, you know, of course, my time calling six straight AFC championship games, three Super Bowls, and, of course, Jeff Howell from The Athletic did a fantastic job writing this thing. So it's cool. As I told it while Jeff Howell actually wrote this book.
Cool.
You know, Scott, a lot of times we have somebody on and they pump out a book and we feel compelled to say, wow, that's an interesting premise. Wow, that seems so cool. We actually mean it this time. It seems like a really cool premise.
Sucked to being really good.
So, I remember those early Pats. I mean, they were bad.
Listen, my Jets went in there every year. Place was a dump. Yeah. It was just so dank. And,
it was bad. I played against Brownie Nagel and Boomer back in the day.
That's right.
Your boy Boomer in the early days. Hey. So I love what he does in the mornings.
Boomer's great. But Brownie Nagel, as a rookie out of Louisville, came out and threw 300-plus yards against the Falcons on the road. I'm like, we got our guy.
I tell you what, Terry, there's some stuff in that book about Brownie Nagel because Howard Schnellenberger went to Louisville from Miami.
That's right.
And Nagel
That's right.
And I came out at the same time. So it was between me and him going to Louisville and which guy was going to start as a freshman.
So maybe about which guy got more money under the table is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm glad I went to Maryland.
Scotty, good having you on, buddy.
I love you guys. I'll see you.
See you,
Scott. Back at you, brother. Keep doing your thing. The Sports Hub. He's terrific. Yeah, voice he's awesome. of the Pats. Does his thing on the radio every day. He's great. All right. Let's get the update from Darwin Zook. We're going to come back. We got the Falcons and the Giants. Teak, is your team going to be a national embarrassment tonight?
No. They're going to play well.
Okay. I want you to expand on that. This could be the night Odell really loses his mind if he don't get in the end zone. We'll talk a little Giants, Falcons. We'll get to the blast as well after that. But Darwin's update is right now. Here he is.
All right, let's answer or ask the pros question of the day. Busy Monday here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. But we answer today's question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Sam Billings at Be Gone Bone wants to know, hey, guys, is Rondo or Ingram, will they be retaliated against for the punches they threw against CP3?
Ooh,
maybe. I don't know that they've got an enforcer on that team.
I'm going to say
the Rockets.
No. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to probably lean towards no as well. Generally, these things kind of police themselves.
Yeah, maybe P.J. Tucker could.
Maybe Tucker.
D-Sill just said that.
Maybe Tucker. Maybe Tucker.
I don't think so, though. I don't think so. Cooler heads will prevail because of LeBron and CP3's relationship and Carmelo.
These things usually go away in the modern NBA.
I agree.
But you never know. We'll see. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Yeah, the Ingram stuff for four games is just asinine on the part of the Kiki Vandeweghe in the NBA, who's handing out the punishment. I don't get it.
Sometimes they miss.
All right.
How do you miss that?
They don't have to do it that often. That's why I beat you.
They lost their practice. Yeah. You got to bring back Oakley and some of those Knicks teams.
Our foul.
Xavier McDaniel.
If you come down the lane, you're going to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Hey, CBS, the Super Bowl season continues on Sunday. Coast-to-coast collision as Cleveland takes on the Steelers. That's an AFC North showdown. The Jets fly to Chicago, take on the Bears. Denver and Kansas City duke it out. AFC West matchup. Baltimore battles the Panthers. That's a really good one. And the Colts take on the Raiders in Oakland. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, of course, on CBS. You ready for a little blastage before we get to the Giants and the Falcons?
Yes, let's get to it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All righty, Trey Young quietly over the weekend. Didn't play well in his debut against the Knicks. He played pretty well the other night. He pumped in 35. Do we buy him as a legit scorer?
I think we will in time, BT. He's still a very young man, 19, almost 20 years old. Scored 35 last night, as you mentioned. But the team around him gives him space. Amari Spellman had a pretty good day, too. 17 points on
Fletcher's
6 of 8
nephew.
Shooting. Yeah, exactly.
That a boy, Amari.
Kent Bazemore, he can shoot. Mm-hmm. We saw him knock down 4 or 5 three-pointers as well.
Vince Carter can shoot still,
yep,
amazingly.
This other kid, DeAndre Bombi, who I didn't even know. I'm like, who the
That's
heck is this
from
kid?
St. Joe's?
He's from St. Joe's. I had no idea who he was.
I almost forgot about
There's
him,
enough
too.
Guys who can like make you respect yeah. space mm-hmm. that I think he can be a scorer.
They're the worst team in the NBA.
No doubt.
I mean, they're the worst team by far. I mean, they're going to be really bad only because they're so young. I do like their coach, Pierce, who we had on yep. over the summer. I like him. But the answer is yes, I view him as a legit scorer, but don't confuse a high-volume scorer with an efficient scorer. I don't know that he'll ever be fully efficient. He won't be like Dennis Smith. He'll be more efficient than that.
Yep.
But he's a gunner. He's going to miss a lot of shots because he's thin. He's going to get knocked off his spot.
And he's tasked with ball handling and running the offense also.
Get a little
it's
tired.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. He's only about 160 pounds. The Angels land Brad Ausmus as their skipper. Is he an upgrade over Mike Socha? Listen, the answer is, first of all, no. I mean, Mike Socha is better than Brad Ausmus. Let me get that out of the way. I also think, to be fair to Brad Ausmus, it doesn't matter if you bring back a reincarnation of Billy Martin, Tommy Lasorda, and Earl Weaver, and throw in a little Tony La Russa, who obviously is one of the best of all time. You gotta get better players, man.
Yeah.
You gotta get better players for Brett Ausmus. I don't like the way Ausmus's tenure ended in Chicago, in Detroit. There was some friction with players. I don't like that.
Yeah,
but Socha's better.
Yeah, he. Had
but maybe I do think it's maybe time for a change.
It's interesting though. He had won 90 games in his first season up there in Detroit. Then he ultimately ended after 4 years under 500, like significantly under 500.
Uh-huh.
His record.
Some bad contracts.
Yep. Billy Epler hires him as a special assistant. So you knew this was an inevitability. Eventually, Socha was going to give way to Ausmus. The only thing, the only positive I can see is that over Socha is that he's more analytics based. And so potentially with some of these young players and young minds, he can figure out ways to utilize them better, lineups, et cetera, that Socha just old school felt didn't do.
True statement. That's a true statement. Kansas number 1, Kentucky number 2, preseason hoops poll. Which coach has had the more decorated career, Billy Self or Coach Calipari?
You know, it's interesting. This is a good question.
It is a good question. Let's define decorated.
Yeah. And so I think perceptually from the lay fan, it's Calipari.
Uh-huh.
But it's probably Billy Self because of the consistency with which they win their conference every single year.
And it's a good conference.
And it's not like you're just, you know, the little sisters of the poor. You know, it's a good conference that he wins every year. I'm going to say Billy Self, but Calipari is the bigger name.
You know, this is a tough one, man. Billy Self's been bumped a little bit too early for my liking in the NCAA tournament when you win 26, 27 games. I also...
But that's always matchups. You know, it just doesn't matter.
You win or you lose.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
You got also... And listen, Billy Self is great, don't get me wrong, but you also have to factor in that Calipari did it at UMass, although the banner's now ripped down from the rafters. he did it at Memphis with Derrick Rose, although there's questions about how Derrick Rose got his SAT score. Billy Self was very good at Illinois with Darren Williams and that crew. I'm going to say Billy Self. I think Billy Self is the better basketball coach. And you know what I mean by coach. Coach. All right. Patrick Peterson wants to be dealt. Are the Cardinals the worst team in the NFL?
Yeah, it's not. Don't even answer BT. Yes, they are.
They're better than the Bills for sure?
Worse. Worse. Are they the worst team?
I'm saying, are we sure the Bills are I mean, at least throw the Bills into the conversation. How many points they score against the Colts? 5?
Yeah,
what was that
but
score? 37-5?
You got a remade offensive line. If you found a way to marginalize one of the best offensive players over the last couple of years, last year not counting,
previous 2 years and David Johnson, you got to be pretty bad. O-line is done. Rookie quarterback is just playing horrible, missing guys widely. Defense.
I got to disagree with you here. I mean, at least I look at Rosen, and if I get a Leftwich could throw in some interesting concepts like somewhat, you know.
The Bills were in the postseason last year.
I'm not talking about last season. It's a different quarterback. Who cares about last season?
Okay, but it's largely the same team.
I would rather have the duo of Rosen and David Johnson and Peterson, by the way, than Josh Allen and A.G. McCoy. And although I know their defense is good, I actually think the Bills are worse. I think the Cardinals are mismanaged.
That's interesting.
Bad coaching.
The point differential of these two teams is gross.
It's pretty close. It's negligible, the difference.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Whatever the difference
their
is,
point,
it's close.
94. Negative 94 point differential.
Is that what it is?
For the Bills. Negative 92.
Oh!
For the Cardinals.
Wow. It's, so it is the Bills who are worse.
It, yeah. Statistically.
Thank you, DK.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Eric Reed. This was deep. Eric Reed calls out Malcolm Jenkins as a sellout.
He's a sellout.
Why do you say that?
Because he's a sellout. I believe Malcolm capitalized on the situation. He co-opted the movement that was started by Colin to get his organization funded. It's cowardly. He sold us out.
Okay, go ahead, Teek.
Yeah. Eric Reed is bitter because of how some of the players that were ultimately a part, that would become a part of the Players Coalition, were focused on moving forward as opposed to staying stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I commend Colin Kaepernick for what he did, what he's done, what he's created, the conversation that he's created.
Yep.
Eric Reed is taking an unnecessary shot because if Malcolm Jenkins hadn't found a way to be cooperative with the National Football League, the National Football League would have said, you guys are at-will employees. Some of you all may have signing bonuses that give you the ability to hang around for a couple of years, but we are the NFL. We pay your salaries. If you're not a quarterback, we can cut you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you can file a collusion, a lot, whatever it is, blackball list, whatever it is want to be. We make the decisions. Malcolm Jenkins wanted to move forward from that. Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick did not.
Mm-hmm.
I think you made the right decision.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
You know, I'm going to try to stay in my lane on this because this is a tough one to answer for me.
BT, it shouldn't be, because this isn't even about race. This isn't about what's happening
in our inner cities. I get that.
This goes back to the late 18th century when labor unions were formed because the workers had zero power. They had no collective power. So wages and working conditions could be whatever they wanted. The union, our union, is part of that. But we don't have, I'm still part of it, but I'm not.
You.
They don't have the power that they think that they have. Mm-hmm. So they can stand up and, you know, form this coalition and fight the National Football League. They're going to lose,
mm-hmm.
right? And Eric Reed and some of the others in that coalition, what became the Players Coalition, realized that and got as much out of it as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I know the NFL tried to institute an anthem policy, but it got shelved because the union backed them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't even hear about it. Right, and great things are happening in these communities. We don't talk about them because it's not an interesting or compelling or mm-hmm. or controversial story.
It's not
no clickbait in it.
Nope.
Hey, guess what? Communities are talking. Athletes are leading conversations with police and et cetera. Yeah. And it's great. And there's great things. That's not a good story. Let's skip it.
It's not divisive.
So, exactly.
Division
but
sells.
Good things are happening because of what Malcolm Jenkins did. Because it shut out Colin Kaepernick. Eric Reed is upset about it.
I don't disagree with that at all. I completely agree with that part of it. I'll take it a little bit of a different direction. This is why, I'm just saying, like, if I owned a team,
mm-hmm.
this is why I would not have signed Eric Reed.
Mm.
This is why I would not have signed him. Because Eric Reed, the way he used the football field, I think yesterday incorrectly. He came out when the captains are out. He's not a captain.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on that team for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about football at this point. And then until it's not. But to have a player stand in front of his locker and talk about everything but football right now is a little damaging. It's a little... I wouldn't want that on my team right now.
By the way...
Let's see if these aren't conversations. We have to have them.
By the way...
But we have to have them at the right time.
After one of the great wins that the Carolina Panthers will have all season long.
Good point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.